You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
Is that just because you had to be different? You just had to be different? I don't know.
Somebody in the editing room just put that together and didn't realize.
Just to piss me off. They're like, there's going to be one person that'll notice it. And it was that little Kyle jerk. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Star Wars review here on the Cantina on the Genreverse YouTube channel. I am Kyle, and I am joined today, sadly, only by Shockey. But that's all right. Shockey is lead over at LRMonline.com, one of our site admin, a senior editor, writer. He does everything, you guys. Be sure you check out LRMonline.com for like written entertainment news, celebrity interviews. Cam's written. Cam's not here, but you guys can read his Andor season 2 episodes 4 through 6 reviews right there. And of course, the Genreverse, you're watching us. Subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube. Subscribe, follow if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app. Lots of anime reactions, but we also do podcasts and reviews and reactions for everything in geek, pop culture, entertainment. Lots of cool stuff. Kind of went out of order there on the introduction. Oh well,
it works.
It had been a while since last week doing the right. Star Wars mm-hmm. thing. And I'm so used to just doing the anime reaction like, you know, 5-6 times in a week. And so it almost comes out naturally.
It's muscle memory
now,
for you.
Now, yeah. Right. How's it going, Shockey? What's up, dude?
It's going good. Good. I feel like we're in a good place in Star Wars right now with Andor. So that's always a net positive. Yeah, with Andor.
With Andor. Andor's doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's a net positive.
I agree. This week was pretty good for you guys. If this is the first time watching this, the way we're kind of handling this season, we're dealing with all 3 episodes in a week, kind of as one movie, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we're grading them together. We're not going to grade 4, 5, and 6 separately. It's all together. We'll give you some quick thoughts, general thoughts, mostly spoiler free. And then after that, it's all spoilers open. So if you're looking for avoiding, if you haven't seen it, come back after you watch it, but please do come back. You know, last week I was like the low man on the grading totem pole. Like I gave it the lowest grade. I think I went with a B+ and
B+, right? Mm-hmm.
You were an A-, I think.
A-.
And yep. Cam was an A. This week, I'm much happier. I loved all 3 episodes. I still have some things to say negatively, but not like last week. I think it's definitely in its stride. This was some of the best Andor we've had since like Luthen's speech in season mm-hmm. 1, since the only one way out in season 1. Like, this was mostly phenomenal. Like I said, few gripes out there, but overall I was so thoroughly impressed. I was like, man, you know, I would sacrifice some of this production value, some of it, if we could get 15 episodes of stuff like this, or 20 episodes like we used to get, you know, with a Battlestar or Babylon 5 or Star Trek, even, you know, back in the day, a bigger season, because this was just again, and I think I had mentioned this about parts last week. This makes me want one of those like all encompassing Star Wars shows, to where you get a little bit of everything. You're mm-hmm. a little in the politics, a little bit in the fight, and a little bit of some mystic Jedi stuff. But a long form series, 20+ episodes in a season, I would kill for something written as well as this. So I was thoroughly impressed. I thought, Cyril got some standout moments, and Andor finally getting to do more than just sit bound and fly a TIE fighter silently. So, considering it's his name, on the show. I was happy for that. So yeah, man, really, really, really happy. Couple of gripes. I think the Saw Gerrera, you and I will talk a bit about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. I think that was a bit of an issue. Crap, I had another one. What was I didn't take notes this time, and I just had it. Maybe it'll come back to me, but there were just a few little things. Oh, way too much French stuff going on. French resistance, and I'm joking. Anyways, what did you think of the trio of episodes there, Mike?
I enjoyed it. I think some of the gripes that we had from the first three episodes were kind of, you know, added into this. So, like, number one, we got more aliens. It was not just humans. Build up a more suspense throughout the episode, where the first three episodes, I feel like the suspense was really just in the latter half of the third episode. I think this one, it was a chess game. It was, you know, figuring out, you know, Dedra and Cyril's role. And it was kind of interesting to see how they're playing out. They're playing their cards on Dorman. You know, Luther and his role now, and how he's starting to, like, he's starting to lose it. You know, he's starting to feel the pressure, and, you know, of not being able to control everything, and trying to find out the end game of all this stuff. I think, you know, it's good to see, because I think and also Bix, his character, and the stress of war and the, you know, and the PTSD of it. I think this is a very real show about war, you know, and the trauma that not just soldiers have, but anyone that's involved in the aspect of war, that you can see in all playing out in all different aspects, from as high up as, you know, Mon Mothma and the politics war, to down to the lowly grunts of the, you know, of Saw and his rebel forces and stuff, and the high stress levels there are there. So it's a cool way how this entire series, in this season, has been playing out, where we're getting, you know, this snapshots, and they're all playing out at the same time of all these different characters, and how the rebellion, you know, is kind of being played out from top down, but also to the Empire. I like how we're getting the Empire side of it, and it's not just, oh, we're building the Death Star, you know, and stuff. It's we're playing the game as well. We know there's a rebellion going on, and we know it helps us too in an aspect of this, and we're gonna play it to our advantage. And that's what I love about this series. It's not simplistic. It's really, you know, well thought out. You can't just put it on and just kind of, you know, eat popcorn and do other things. You really have to pay attention to everything that's going on, because it plays out, you know, throughout every single episode. And in these three episodes, especially this one, I had to go back watching. I'm watching the second episode, and while I was, you know, and had to go back to the first episode, make sure, you know, I had everything played out, you know, correctly of what was going on, especially. I didn't expect the whole Empire storyline, the Dedra and Cyril storyline. I didn't, like, it took me a minute to kind of follow on how that was all played out. So I thought it was excellent overall. The Saw Gerrera storyline felt a little out of place for me. I just, it did play its part to the story and to the overarching theme of what Andor is. It was just different. Yeah. Right, it's kind of like the dancing scene in episode three with Mon Mothma, you know, in the club. Like, it just felt different. Just kind of felt out of place, you know. But I'm glad it's done this way, because I don't think Saw Gerrera deserves its own series, and it just is not a character that could carry, like, would entertain me enough to watch even eight episodes of what Saw does. I think that putting him a little bit in Clone Wars, a little bit in and video games, and this, perfect. I saw a couple people on Reddit and stuff wanting a Saw Gerrera series. I don't.
Just watching some dude going after drugs?
Yeah, I'm okay with what it is.
Is that, is him huffing that stuff from Rebels or Clone Wars or whichever one he was in? Rebels,
if I remember. Or what was it, the video game? It's either Rebels or the video game. What is it? What's the Star Wars, this Jedi Fallen
Order.
And it might be the Jedi Survivor.
Because I was sitting there watching it, and it's just kind of weird. silly even for this to be a plot point. And I guess that's to connect the gas he's breathing in Rogue One, maybe. Did they put that in the game?
Or? I think so Jedi Fallen Order, he's in his normal armor that we see in this Andor series, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think what's going to play out, what you know will happen, is that they'll be doing another one of these runs, and there'll be a massive explosion and cause him to, you know, need the apparatus system to help him survive and stuff.
Yeah. It was just so weird because, like, I don't really need to know more about him to understand that he's kind of crazy in Rogue One. So,
yeah,
at this point, it didn't feel needed at all. It really didn't.
Yeah, I thought the purpose of it was, and maybe it'll play out a little bit later, is that there hasn't been an announcement of Felicity Jones reprising her role as
Erso.
Jyn Erso in Rogue One. But that's what I was like when I saw it the first time. I was like, okay, we're 3 years out from, you know, BBY. And then is this like how we are introduced to Jyn, you know, because she's part of the rebellion and stuff as well? Because we don't really know why Cassian goes after Jyn right away. Like, it's, you know, and stuff. So I was thinking,
Find out that they figure that she's the daughter of what's his name. That's why they were going after her.
Galen Erso. But like, I thought that maybe, okay, this is going to be the link to, like, we see Cassian and we see Jyn, and then, all right, that, like, not that they're going to intertwine in this series, but like that, like that's where it kind of similar to how Rogue One walks up all the way to A New Hope, is like, this is how it, you know, Andor walks all the way up to Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still, you don't really need Saw in any big way. And I know someone's upset hearing us say he's the greatest character ever. Okay, that's fine, but it's not needed here as of now. You could have Saw put Jyn onto some mission or something like that for your cameo bit, but I hope kind of hope that doesn't happen here.
I could kind of see it where, like, we see, I don't think Felicity Jones will be back, but we see Saw give the orders for that whatever mission that they're on that they get captured, because it's seeming like they're building up to, like, the Empire knows that a rebellion activity is going on, and then all of a sudden Saw gets a part of it and then sends Jyn, and then that's where she gets captured, and then Cassian has to go.
Or sends her by proxy, because she hadn't talked to him in a while in the movie. That was one of my gripes, and I honestly, I can't remember what the other one was. It was something small, something not... I could still complain about the music. Some of it. I don't like hearing real earthly like music.
Yeah, they did another what was it, like, club scene or whatever with the Empire sort of, party.
Yep. I did think, like, when Saw's group jumps to hyperspace, that they spent a bit too much time on that shot in hyperspace. And I was just kinda like, why are we here? It's been like 4 or 5 seconds. We didn't need to be following this particular X-wing for this traveling shot that we're not going to see the other end
side of it. Yeah.
So I didn't care for that. There were a few other minor things, but like I said, this was leaps and bounds better than the first three episodes. And like I said, the B plus from last week is not a bad thing. I'm looking at the wrong camera. Sometimes I'm looking here, sometimes I'm...
Nah, you're good.
Too much stuff going on. I really, really enjoyed, like you had mentioned, the falling apart stuff. Luthen, seeing the worry and concern that he's got, and kind of seeing others happen to think more on their feet, and the whole scene with the Braille disc, essentially,
the disc.
And what's her name trying to get that listening device out. Yeah. That was pretty intense. I was pleased with how that was doing. It's always great to see Ben Mendelsohn on screen. Mm-hmm. Him and Mon Mothma getting into their little pissing match, their ideological pissing match, was fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I wanted from Andor, although I would still like a little more Andor. He's a cool character, and maybe they're like, oh, well, we're not going to show as much because we all know he's dying, and this is our chance to tell these other grown-up stories, which I get. But he is a cool, interesting character, and you see him off that rebel asset at the beginning of Rogue One, and you're just like, man, how do you get to that point, you know?
I think the next couple episodes will be more of that. I think the ending of where Cassian and Bix are was kind of like, we're done with this hiding.
Separate.
They got their revenge, and now missions ago, they're going after, you know, for their cause and stuff.
Yeah. Some heavy topics, man. Sex, drugs, and techno rock and roll abound in Andor. What really stood out to you positively this block?
The Lutheran and his way of, you know, he's crumbling, and he's really stressed out, he doesn't have everything under control. It's such a great way to transition the character arc for him, because, you know, from when we saw season one, he was he knew everything was going on, in control, all this. And then we get the first three episodes, you know, where he's playing chess, you know, while at the wedding and stuff, and off a guy. And then all of a sudden it just snaps. And I don't know. I mean, you have, you know, your military experience and stuff, but I mean, it's just, even in the business world, you have great, you know, bosses and managers and leaders that you think they've got everything under control, and then all of a sudden, you know, things just pile up too much and they kind of snap. And it feels like we're getting to that point where, you know, he's can't control all of it. And it's got to something, you know, this kind of explosion of the rebellion has got to happen sooner rather than later type deal, which I enjoy, because everything we've seen so far with Star Wars and the rebellion, it's kind of like, we're building up a military. So like in Star Wars Rebels, it's a small group of, you know, banding of, you know, characters, you know, putting up together, and then, you know, little by little they're building, and, you know, they have their little conflicts here and there, but they're always happy go lucky. And Rogue One, it's in even the original trilogy, you don't really see the stress of the rebellion of, you know, how are we going to, you know, it's not until like the Death Star is right on, you know, Yavin 4 and stuff, and or their empires at Hoth, that you really see the stress of it. But this is really, you know, the manipulation, the mind games going on is finally getting to Luther, and it's finally getting to Mon Mothma. And it is, you know, it's entertaining to see for a storytelling aspect of it. I think it's realistic, you know, for our part. So that's
a good word for it.
Yeah, it's I really am enjoying that. And also the Empire story. I didn't think the first three episodes, you know, with the Dorman and, you know, you know, kind of add play to, or, you know, to it was a little bit, but it's interesting to see how each Imperial officer is playing their own little, you know, role and playing it out type deal. It's just those things. I like that part. I like the psychological part of it all.
I noticed they included the old Legends Gorman massacre where Tarkin lands on a bunch of people.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Was that covered in Rebels or anything?
Rebels. It was in a book, which I forgot which one.
Well, it was in a Legends book. It was old canon.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a second Gorman massacre, which people have been referring to, which is this stuff that's coming up. And I'm guessing that was just mentioned in Rebels, and that's what sends Mon Mothma into open rebellion. And you see all these pieces that are there, you know, Cyril's there. He doesn't know what Dedra knows, and Dedra doesn't know all of the truth
right.
either.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I really thought they had split for a moment, and then you kind of go, okay, no, he's playing both sides. Means he's working with her. And I don't know if, I had just kind of forgotten something that set that up last block, or if we were meant to be kind of wondering, was he truly betraying or not? But I did like how this one felt. I felt like I spent a couple of weeks, even though it's only three episodes, I felt like a couple of weeks went by. You know what I'm saying? I know Star Wars under Disney has shrunk the galaxy to where going from the middle of the galaxy to the Outer Rim is like walking a couple of blocks in New York City.
2 seconds. Yep.
I hate that. I hated that so, especially in Ahsoka, man. They just went everywhere like that.
2 minutes, yep. Mm-hmm.
And even though that has been an issue in Star Wars, this literally felt like there was some time. You know, like there was some time. You saw day and night multiple times.
Yeah, very similar to like Game of Thrones in the first couple of seasons of it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed that. I really wish I could remember what my other small gripe was, but it wasn't that big of a deal, obviously. Maybe it was the we still need more Andor thing. I don't know. But if those were the biggest gripes we had, the Saul Guerrero thing, the whole drug thing, if it doesn't pay off in some way, I think it'll be more upsetting that they included it. Because, again, like I said, we learn everything that we need to know about him for Rogue One in Rogue One.
Right.
Like, I know he was a prior existing character from the Rebels show, and it was a connection to that.
He even goes back farther to Clone Wars.
It does go to Clone Wars?
Yeah, okay. Clone Wars, he's a kid.
Regardless.
Yeah.
I know that there was enough for people that watched that stuff. What I'm just saying is, like, when they're like, he's the extremist of the original, you know, group
of Rebellion.
He's the extremist. And you kind of see him crazy and he's breathing that stuff. And you're like, okay, I got it. I don't need to know anything else. So if this is just literally a check the box of him and this gas stuff, and I won't necessarily like it if they do something with it. If he has interaction with Luthen or Andor himself, if there's something. Well, I guess he wouldn't have interaction with Andor himself because of the movie. The way that went down. But anyways, I hope it's not a waste. Because this show didn't need to waste any time.
Right.
So, grades, man. Cam's thoughts.
I told you not to let me forget. We were getting to that point.
Uh-huh. So, guys, Cam wanted to say he's not feeling well today, hence the reason he's not here. He said he gives it an A+. He loved it. It reminded him of British Cold War spy thrillers. He even calls his written review Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. He said tension and intelligent writing. Got to work it all out for yourself. A lot of showing, not telling. Those are Cam's thoughts. And I will say I agree. I would give this 3-episode block an A+. Like I said, it is definitely up there with Luthen's monologue and the Only One Way Out episodes from season one. What about you, Mike?
Same. A plus overall. It's a well-written, well-shot, only some small, tiny gripes, but it's nothing, anything that, I mean, I would take away from it. You know, like I understand why Saw Gerrera's in this show. I just, you know, don't want it to take away from Cassian, like, in his story and stuff. So, like, that's my only thing.
Yeah, that, he could be in the show.
He's part of the rebellion, part of the process.
This drug huffing thing just doesn't feel like it really matters story.
I had to look it up for a second, but even like the when Luthen sends Vel and Senta, like that whole storyline, and then what was it, Senta or that gets Senta gets accidentally shot and stuff and everything, and kind of Vel's reaction to it, and you know, to the guy who didn't do his job,
liked that speech. That
was
a lot.
Well written. Like, that was a you're going down for that one. You've got to live with this and stuff, and you know, you don't get to cry and all. Like, that was, well written overall. Like, I give Tony Gilroy, and acting, Tony Gilroy, unbelievable job directing. And so A+ overall. Like, I think this one, this 3-episode block is going to be hard to beat, you know, for the remainder of the series. But if we get anything similar, like what we've been getting overall, great series.
Well, we still have 6 episodes left, which is nice. 2 more 3-block episodes, all leading to this Gorman massacre that happened a year before the Battle of Yavin. Did Disney decide to go with BBY and then number versus number BBY just to be pissy with the old EU?
I think so.
Because nobody on Earth says current era 2025 or BC 500. We say 500 BC or BCE, or we say, you know, 400 AE or AD or now CE.
Yeah.
AE.
I don't know if it was like more of a just a countdown, like 5-4, like 4-3-2-1 type deal.
I guess, but I spotted that and I was just like, is that just because you had to be different? You just had to be different? I don't know.
Somebody in the editing room just put that together and didn't realize.
Just to piss me off. They're like, there's going to be one person that'll notice it. And it was that little Kyle jerk. Well, guys, that was a good 3-episode block. I hope that it only gets better. And if it doesn't, at least stays on that. I hope we don't go back down. And again, not that the first 3 were terrible. This is Star Wars for adults. It really is. And not in the sense of just, oh, they're talking drugs. There's, more violence, sexual violence and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the thinking, the intelligence, and it just like Rogue One felt like an EU book come to life. This feels like an EU book come to life. Like when I'm reading, especially stuff like a Wraith Squadron, where there's a lot of spy craft and a lot of, infiltration, the Wraith Squadron books, this is the type of stuff I'm seeing in my mind. And God, I wish that Star Wars wasn't so, especially live action Star Wars, wasn't tainted with so much garbage from the last few years, because it hurts to see just that drastic of a difference. Like, Star Wars has the cartoons for all the cartoony stuff. There was no need to make the live action as cartoony as George did with the prequels, but I know some of you guys out there like that.
So I'm taking it you did not go see Revenge of the Sith in theaters. No. I did. I went.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did.
Take the kids. Did they enjoy it?
No, my wife and I. We just went on a date and stuff.
Nice.
And we saw it. So
saw that over Thunderbolts. No, Thunderbolts is this weekend. Sorry,
Thunderbolts is this week.
Carry on.
But yeah, enjoyed it. It's definitely dated, the CGI and everything, and you know the dialogue. You know, it is rough now as I'm getting older and stuff. But it brought me back to a kid for a little bit. Yeah,
I'm sure. Every time I hear someone say, "Oh, the opening battle CGI holds up," I'm just like, what are you smoking? And can I have some? Because it's got to be some really good stuff to have you thinking that doesn't look like, you know, that
maybe
era,
the first
like
10 seconds. Yeah.
PlayStation video games these days, not PlayStation 1, but it's video games. Maybe 3. It was a bit of ahead of its time. It looked really good. It wasn't PS2 era, but I mean,
I'd say like
movie
the first
10
seconds,
era,
you know, is good. And then once it jumps right in, it's like, okay, we're back in early 2000s.
And even with the graphics for it being dated, which is fine, guys, it came out in 2005. I'm not like, oh, you should have been better. That was really good for back then. Like when we saw that the first time in theaters, we were like, man, that looks, even if you were already burned on some of the story and acting in the prequels, you saw that and you're like, that looks really good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hold up, guys, compared to today.
Yeah, I mean, I think about this, right? 20 years from now, if you were to watch Andor, right, because there's so much live action in it and it's the realism and set location.
It's still going to look good.
It's going to hold up. Yeah. Like even the original trilogy, you know, the set locations does hold up to a standard. I mean, the film quality, you know, that's where, you know, because it's not in 4K and stuff, that's where you can tell. But
yeah.
you redo it in 4K and it holds. And so, yeah,
I realize a lot of the prequel trilogy can be enjoyable if you just watch it on mute with the John Williams score playing, nothing else.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. You can definitely. I mean, I've had it on mute.
The pod race in episode one is great if you don't have to listen to Jake Lloyd talking and fart noises and stuff like that. And Revenge of the Sith opening is great as long as you don't have to listen to Anakin and Obi-Wan talk to each other.
Yeah, I've definitely, when it's on TNT or TBS, I have it and have it on mute and stuff.
Like I've said before, I think I will officially say that Episode 9's the worst Star Wars movie there is, followed by the prequels and the sequel trilogy, and the OT still reigns supreme, 100% with it being Empire at top, and yeah, I'm putting Jedi over A New Hope. But my Star Wars movies is just Rogue One and the OT, you know?
Yep.
Movie wise. Shows, I liked Mando season one, liked season two, hated three. Every other show except for Andor and those first two seasons can.
It's gonna be fun to watch Andor then tie it into Rogue One. It'll be cool to see it, how everything plays out, and then have it as like one super long story with Cassian. Because we watch Rogue One and we think it's the Jyn Erso story, and really it's the Cassian,
Capstorm,
yeah,
if you will, end cap something,
like
that. Oh well, good stuff. Hope more comes. Any other thoughts?
Shocking. No, all good.
All right, guys, make sure you are checking out more content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Lots of it. Reactions, reviews, podcasts, playlists galore. It's a great way to kind of consume our content. I do wish YouTube would let us sort these things a bit more. But hey, they are there. LRMonline.com for all sorts of written entertainment news, celebrity interviews, and red carpet events from the LRM YouTube channel. Even Spanish exclusive interviews, Nancy does those over on the LRM YouTube channel. So lots of reasons to check out both, subscribe to both. Shockey, anything else you want to say to the good people?
Happy May 4th, because this will we'll release it, and so May 4th Sunday, and then Revenge of the 5th on Monday. So
are we getting the Mandalorian and Grogu trailer on May 4th, Shockey? Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, what is it? Visions, I think, trailer, I think, is what I've heard. So, but nothing too crazy.
I'd take more Visions. LRM Online has history with Mandalorian.
Trailers. We're not doing that anymore.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.
Save big money at Menards. Get your grass growing thick and green with Scott's Thicker Lawn Grass Seed Mix. Its 3-in-1 solution of grass seed, fertilizer, and soil improver is formulated to help your thinning lawn grow green and covers up to 1,200 square feet. Hurry into the Menards Garden Center to save big on Scott's Thicker Lawn Grass Seed. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.